Blog Talk Radio.
I should be live. Am I on? New stream live. Hey, you can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yay! Okay. Man, this has been crazy getting everything to work out today. Crazy day. But yeah, everything should be running okay. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You said you were working on the carpet. What does that mean?
Oh, I was shampooing my carpets in my apartment.
Okay. Are you pretty, pretty clean person?
I try to be. I have a roommate, and she has two dogs. So having the carpets dirty bothers me. So I had to clean them.
Yeah. Rough stuff. Okay, cool. So it's recording it right now. I'll edit this part out before we start.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw the like thing I sent you on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any like questions or input or anything on that?
Not really. Is it mainly going to be like everything that you've already asked me about, or is there going to be new questions added in that you haven't already asked me?
There will be new stuff. I mean, like I said, I don't generally script it out. I kind of just take it where the conversation goes.
Right.
I just wrote up that stuff so you kind of have an idea of what I'll probably get into. But yeah, just don't overthink it. We'll just have a conversation and then I'm sure it'll be good.
All right.
All right, cool. Well, I'll start it in just a second. Okay.
I'm excited.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous, though.
Yeah, it's okay to be nervous. You're just about to be broadcast to thousands, eventually millions of people around the world. We got some dude in Egypt's about to hear you. is that pretty amazing that this is possible?
I'm gonna try and be as eloquent as I can be.
Just be yourself. But yeah, how cool is it? Like, I'm at a gym in like a room they let me into on Wi-Fi and a cell phone, and we're able to create a show that literally like people around the world could hear. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So. If you're ever feeling nervous or not like, or like you don't know if you want to get into something, just remember, it's for the good of mankind.
Yes, I know.
Okay. So welcome to episode 8. I think it's episode 8. Episode 8 of Tripolar. I am your host, Nico Monetti. And my guest today is Lacey. How you doing, Lacey?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So Lacey is a beautiful girl, and that is the reason I'm having her on the show. It sounds kind of shallow or weird, but it's because just her story, after I had a conversation with her about it, I thought was really interesting and a story that I've never really heard told. And it's kind of a story about the cons of being an attractive person and a confident person. And really, it's applicable to a lot of you listening, not just people who are, you know, good looking or whatever. It's applicable to anyone who's got something they're good at or something that they excel at or have a talent for. And then dealing with all the baggage that comes with that, because there's no owner's manual for how to navigate life. So Lacey, why don't you just tell everybody just, you know, kind of a little bit about your background.
My background. Well, I was born and raised in Elgin, Illinois. I lived there for about 13 years. And then my dad got a job in Lee Summit, Missouri, which is just outside of Kansas City. And my family relocated. And, whenever I moved here, I was going into the eighth grade. So I had to make all new friends and kind of just start over. It was my first time ever moving, so it was definitely a new experience. And, moving to a different state, the people were a little different. So I kind of had to adjust to how people just acted and carried themselves and everything. And it's kind of...
How are they different? And,
whenever I moved here from a distance, they seemed a lot nicer. But that was, I learned that that was kind of a front. Whereas where I used to live, people were very upfront with you. So people here kind of hide the truth a little bit more.
Yeah, it's very passive aggressive-y out here, huh?
Yeah.
It's the whole, like, everybody's smiling at you, everybody's your friend, but not really. Everybody just wants to know everybody's business. And
absolutely.
I prefer it when people are more upfront about not liking me or whatever, you know, than pretending to be my friend. But,
yeah.
Okay. So we moved out here, and I don't know if I established it yet. How old are you?
I am 18 years old.
Okay, 18 years old. And so generally, I just kind of give a description of what my guest is like to paint like a picture for the listeners. With you, I did something a little more detailed and a little artistic.
Okay.
And hopefully you're okay with it. But
go for it.
I thought it would be a fun way to introduce you. So
okay.
I basically wrote a recountment. Is that a word? Recountment? It should be a word. So I wrote a recountment about the first time that I remember seeing you.
Okay.
And kind of just my internal dialogue from an amped up, dramatized standpoint. And kind of like a film noir-y type of narration. So without further ado, I'm going to write this, read this thing I wrote the other day. Hopefully you don't take offense, okay?
Oh, gosh, okay.
I think you'll find it flattering. But
okay.
Anyway, I'll just say you're a perceptive person. You're not going to, like, be weirded out. Okay, so the weights clank. My grip on the rope is tight. Up and down, up and down. The repetitions that shape me feel good. I enjoy working my triceps. Go on. The workout's going well. I'm lost in the beat of the techno music coming through my wireless headphones. No wires, I love it. What progress man has made. Yes, the workout. It's going well indeed. Till she came along. God, she's beautiful. My God. If Kate Upton had a little sister, Kate Upton would be jealous of her sister. That golden blonde hair, wrapped up neatly, though not so neatly that a few strands are free to make their way. If unfurled, there's a lion's mane of hair. Grippable, grabbable hair. I normally wouldn't stare, but her outfit's attracting my attention. Attracting is an understatement. It's demanding it. That yellow sports bra, gripping those big, beautiful, no doubt, natural breasts. In L.A., I think they were fake. Not here in Missouri. That's the real deal right there. She's walking toward me, earbuds in. I take off my headphones and let them rest around my neck. for what I hope appears to me no apparent reason. That's right, Missy. This fellow's ears are free to hear words. Throw some my way, sweetheart. Her eyes, big, bright almond eyes, touch my stare for a quick second. The second her eyes meet, mine dart away, the same way a hand does when it touches a stove. So as to cover up the fact I was staring, I pretend to be taking a full view of the gym in, again, for no apparent reason. It's not that I feel bad staring. It's that I know she's not going to be into me if I stare at her. That's how it works, or so I'm told. You have to treat the prettiest ones like they're ugly. Then they'll be interested. What a ripoff. Great. Now her ass comes into play. With yoga pants so form-fitting, you 90% now know what she looks like naked. She looks good. She looks very good. And she's doing squats, right? Over there. Now I have to deal with that in my peripheral vision as I continue my workout. When she finishes a set, she goes to the water fountain. I don't follow. It's not that I'm not thirsty. I am. Just not for water. As she makes another pass. As she makes another pass, our eyes are jets in a dogfight. I take my headphones off again. This time, I add a bunch of weight to the thing, then hold a rep down as she passes. As I make sure my muscles are at their best and hold my posture as presentable as possible, just shy of a soldier detention, enough shrug to imply I'm approachable. Not rigid, cool, a bit breezy, a hint whimsical, but oh man, toots. Headphones off, muscles flexed, grin affixed, this time I'll make eye contact. This time, my retinas mean business. You challenge me, woman? I accept. She doesn't look at me this time. Or did she? There's mirrors everywhere. Maybe she's playing coy. I give her an upward nod as she passes, in a way that gently says, hey, please take those goddamn earbuds out so I can impress you with my words. I may or may not have said. Either way, it didn't matter, because the earbuds stayed in. She goes back to squatting. I look down at the machine I was on. God damn it. My workout is ruined. It's ruined by the type of girl that workouts are for in the first place. Whatever. She's probably a bitch. Yeah, I can tell. Probably really slutty, too. She's a dumb blonde. I can do better. I'm not going to pay attention next time. That'll show her. Ha! That's right. Get ready, jerk. You win this round, but next time, I'm not going to look at you. Not even one bit. Let's see how you feel then. Two can play that game. Of course, next time I looked. So that's my intro to Lacey.
Wait, so did this actually happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
It was back when I was running the restaurant. It was probably... I don't know. It may have been like a year ago. But I just remember, and I'd see you there every once in a while, but that I think was the first time I ever saw you there. And you probably don't remember because like I said in the story,
no.
I didn't make much of an impression. But yeah, so I thought it would be fun to do it that way, not just because it's more fun than just saying like, hey, it's a hot chick. But because I wanted to give people a feel for what a lot of people probably feel around you. And it ties into what we were going to discuss about, you know, sexuality being such a powerful thing. Other women being very envious of people who can garner that type of reaction like I had. Let's talk about that for a minute. When did you I'm assuming you know it. When did you realize that you had the ability to kind of cast a spell on men?
Not until recently, I would say. I was in a relationship for 2.5 years. From the time when I was just becoming a teenager, so I was just about 14 years old until I was about 17. And
okay.
So that, you know, during that period, I wasn't really worried about stuff like that. But after I got out of that relationship, I had a lot more people's attention. And I just kind of realized, you know, for especially men, that they were so eager to please me, not in that kind of way, but just get my attention or talk to
right.
me or get to know me. And, you know, that's fine, but...
yeah, you're not opening
a
door.
Yeah, me being who I am, I am not... I'm a very sociable person, but I'm not going to go around and talk to everyone, especially on a personal level. So
sure.
Me turning those people down or kind of ignoring those people, I started to realize how often I was getting it. And so
right.
that's definitely when I started to kind of realize that. So it was probably like junior, senior year of high school.
Okay. So this is a relatively new thing for you.
Last yeah,
couple
for
of years
sure.
It's been kind of kicking in.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
At first when I started to realize it, it made me feel empowered and it made me feel, kind of on some days like I was on a high horse, to be honest, like I'm being completely honest. And a lot of women
yeah,
can definitely say that. If people, especially men, give you attention, you know, you're going to feel like, you know, great. You're going to be like, wow, like that's a good thing, you know?
Of course.
But over time, especially whenever you realize that that's not important, it feels like you're on a pedestal that you can't really get off of. So you feel like everyone, you know, both female and male, are always kind of putting you in a spotlight and worrying about what you're doing with your life. And that can get really, really aggravating. So... now that I've realized it and kind of gotten over it, it definitely kind of makes me uncomfortable sometimes.
Interesting. But is it something you seek?
No, it really isn't. I understand the way that I carry myself.
Why do you dress so damn sexy?
Because I want to empower myself. I feel great when I look great. I feel great whenever I, you know what I'm saying, whenever I take a cute picture or whenever I wear a dress or whenever I'm working, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that makes
yeah.
me feel
so,
great,
so you do like,
then
you
I'm,
do seek it. Like, you do like the reaction. Not that, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No,
like,
it's not even really about the reaction anymore. It's just like, if I feel comfortable wearing something or I feel comfortable doing something, that's for my benefit. That's because I want to do it and it makes me feel good. You know, it's no longer about other people. And like, being completely honest, for a while it was about other people. You know, it was about mm-hmm. like, oh, well, I hope so-and-so thinks this of me, or I hope I impress this person or whatever it was.
Right.
But now it's just like, there are certain people I don't want to attract and I don't want to worry about me. So I just do what I want to do and what makes me feel great. And if other people are offended by that, then, you know, I could care less. So
okay.
That's my view.
Okay. So in a lot of countries, we have a lot of listeners I'm noticing from the Middle East, believe it or not. Over there, obviously, they have much more conservative rules about how women can dress. I mean, if you were over there, you'd be wearing blankets. They'd be wrapping
yeah.
you up in blankets and duct taping it and making sure no one sees anything. But contrast that with the way, you know, the freedoms we have in America where you can wear or not wear whatever you want with very few limitations. Do you think, I'll pose the question to you, why do you think they have those rules in those countries?
Well, obviously it is because of just a moral standpoint and how they are raised. And obviously they believe that, in my perspective, I think that, you know, if you cover yourself, then no one really knows what you have. And so whenever you get married, that other person that is lucky enough to marry you can actually see what you have, and no one else knows what it looks like. You know, because people even cover their faces and only their eyes show. So you can't really, you know, see what someone really has until you, like, work for it, which is a good thing. But, you know, it all depends on where you're from and where you're raised, because if you're raised in America, you're not raised to cover every inch of your body, you know. So, but I definitely think
we have a very different culture.
Yeah, of course. So it's all cultural.
We celebrate,
you know,
showing our bodies, I think. I mean, as a whole, I think we celebrate. We like what it represents, the hard work, or the, you know, the attainment of one's potential, just embracing our sexual capacity. I don't know if that's a good way to word it, but I think there's a lot of good that comes. I definitely prefer to live in a society where people can dress however they want.
You can express yourself.
Right. And here's what I think about it. You know how, like, in America, we can carry on guns in Missouri? You know, in Missouri, like, I could legally just walk around with a gun on my hip for no reason.
Yeah.
So I have that freedom, but at the same time, if I were to walk around with guns, it would just freak people out. It would get a major reaction. So I think that's why people just generally don't do it, even though they legally could, because it draws that attention and it reminds people that you have a violent power at your disposal. And it may be a stretch, but I think that women, and maybe men to some degree too, feel a similar sense of threat when they see a woman like you basically just highlighting their beauty, because, like we kind of discussed getting into, sexuality is such a power and such a force that women have over men. And do you think that it's possible that women, particularly women who maybe don't like you or take issue with you, that it has something to do with that kind of effect where they just feel like you're threatening them, like, in just a very primordial sense, where it's just like they're threatening taking my mate, or you know, they're not playing by the rules. We're supposed to hide that, and she's breaking the rules. Do you think there's some of that going on?
I mean, of course, that happens to every female ever. You know, whether you think you're the most beautiful thing ever or you're self-conscious, like, whatever it is, there's always going to be someone, especially in your life at some point, there's going to be some other female that, you know, looks at you wrong or tells you that you're doing something wrong or feels threatened by you or is jealous. That's just, I mean, that's life. And it's sad that people have to, like I said, worry about other people, you know. And I'm sure if, because, you know, if I'm out in public and I see a beautiful girl, I'm not personally, I mean, I might, there might be a certain type of situation where I might feel threatened, but that's very rare. It would have to be like she was like personally trying to do it. But if I see a beautiful woman out in public, I'm going to acknowledge that and I'm going to, you know, look at it as a beautiful thing, because it's not, you know what I mean? And if, I'm sure if a girl who's self-conscious had that confidence, she would love to do the exact same thing. And the reason why she is, you know, being envious or jealous or threatened or whatever it is because she wants to have that. And, you know, and as the person who may be making her feel that way, we're not going to dumb ourselves down to make them happy. You know, if we're happy in our own skin, we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to flaunt that. You know, we're not going to make ourselves, we're not going to conform so that you feel more comfortable. That's how I feel about it. I don't think that's right. I don't think there's any point in doing that. I haven't been beautiful my whole life. It like that just hasn't been how my life has been. And so whenever you reach that point where you're actually finally comfortable and you're confident, you know, you're going to show it and you're going to walk with confidence
right.
and talk with confidence. And no one is going to ever take that away from me because it took a long time for me to get where I am. And that's just how I feel.
Yeah, and that goes to kind of what we were talking about the other day, this idea that, this is kind of my theory, that everyone wants the same kind of things, basically. Only some people get them, whether by chance or by hard work or by the combination of the two. And whoever doesn't have them, I think it's their instinct to want the other people to not have it either. Like, I think there's
yeah.
this natural instinct where it's just like, if I can't have that, like, fuck them. I don't want them to have it or enjoy it either.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think there's a lot of that going on when people are hating. So let's change gears a little. What do you look for in a friend?
In a friend. What do I look for in a friend? Loyalty. I look for someone that listens because I believe being a good listener is the root to everything. You know, if you can talk to someone about something genuine and they actually listen and talk back to you, then that's a great friendship. You know, I've had girlfriends in the past that they come to me with their problems and, you know, I love to listen and help people. So, you know, I'll listen to them and I'll help them. And then, you know, it's like I finally have a problem and I need someone to talk to. And, you know, I just spill my heart out and they're just like, you know what I'm saying? They're just kind of like not really there. So I believe that being a good friend is just, you know, be a good friend. Be there for them. Don't talk behind their back. Be a good listener. Try and understand each other, especially with me having a roommate with someone that I was best friends with before we lived together. It's all about understanding. Don't be selfish. Always put your friends, perspective in your own eye. You know, just don't be selfish. And it's hard to do, but if you really care about someone, you should be able to put yourself in their shoes and try and understand them. So to me, you know, just be loyal, be understanding, and be a good listener.
Sorry, what was that?
I said be loyal, be a good listener, and just don't be selfish.
Wait, I wasn't paying attention. What? I wasn't paying attention, sorry.
Stop it.
Okay.
You're totally throwing me off. I'm like, wait, can you?
I'm just being a smartass. I'm just being a smartass. That was a good answer.
Yeah, you can't be a smartass either.
I can't not be a smartass. It's ingrained in my DNA. I tried to fight it. Okay. That's what you look for in a friend. Now, what do you look for in a... I mean, you're young. You maybe don't even know the answers to these questions yet, but... What do you look for in a mate?
In a mate? Well, I actually have a boyfriend, a new boyfriend. But in the past, I've had kind of an idea of what I wanted in someone, but I have learned that that constantly changes, you know, because someone can come into your life that can be the complete opposite of what you're used to or what you may want. But they just fit you perfectly. So, but there are obviously a couple concrete things that I would have to have to date someone. So they need to be a good listener as well. You know, I need to be able to actually talk to you. You can't just be an airhead and just sit there and not be able to have substance to your conversation. you have to be loyal, you have to be a family guy, you know, you have to be close with your parents and have want to have a family in the future and just have goals in your life. And I would say the next big one is you need to have a sense of humor. You can't have no, you know, you can't just be like a cold person. You have to be able to laugh about things and be silly. And you have to be able to make me laugh because the weight of my heart is making you laugh. So those are definitely the main things I'd say.
Good list. Notice that well, I noticed well-defined triceps were not on that list.
No.
No, not at the top. Okay, cool. But you know what an interesting question would be? Because there's this idea that most men have that women pay a lot of attention to, or at least this is what we're raised to believe. We're raised to believe women are attracted to money, they're attracted to muscles, and they're attracted to, there should be a third M thing, since those both started with M.
Mind, soul, and
motivation.
Money.
I don't know. Money, muscles, motivation, maybe. Anyways, I found that women aren't that attracted. You know, that it's not a necessary component to be rich.
No.
To get even the most beautiful girls interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd have never dated a pretty girl.
I feel like it depends. It depends on the woman because it depends what she's wanting. If she's wanting a serious relationship, she's going to want you to be secure with yourself. You know, she wants
right.
you to be able to take care of yourself, but you don't have to be a billionaire, you know, because
right.
that's just something very materialistic. That's not something that truly matters, you know. There's more to a true relationship that's marriage potential than money. So it just depends on what you want in your life, I guess.
Yeah, and I think personality goes a lot further than guys think. Because, I mean, you'll see just beautiful women with just like guys are just like, what the hell? How did that happen? And,
yeah.
you know, a lot of it is just that I think that the guys who end up with those girls, they're generally secure in themselves. They know who they are and, I don't know, I guess they happen to appeal to the girl, but they're not always with other super good-looking people. That was always something that I found just goes against what you're kind of raised believing. Just watching TV and everything that they're just into your looks and into your car. Girls don't give a shit about cars. I don't know who came up with that. That's got to be just like really clever marketing. Like, you don't give a shit about what kind of car.
You can't drive like a minivan. You can't be riding around in a minivan or like a Prius,
right.
you know. But
or
you
a van,
have to have
van.
Some like red Mustang with like a super loud engine and whatever under the hood. Like, we don't even know what
you're
talking
about. Yeah, I feel like
about.
That's even... Why is it gotta be a loud engine? I never understood that either.
Yeah.
Like why are guys into
it? Goes, like you're gonna be going with speed limit anyway. Like chill.
I guess it's just like they like the noise it makes because it's just like announcing
know.
I'm here. It's like a
yeah,
hey,
but that's like to me that's so.
Guess you just arrived.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of peacock theory?
No, but I can guess what it is.
Okay, what is it?
Like, you like, show off whenever you're insecure, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right?
Not just insecure, but it's the idea, like, peacocks attract their mates by, you know, holding up these, like, sexy-ass feathers, and then they're strutting
yeah.
around, and the ladies are like, all right, you know, that one's pretty, that's some pretty nice feather action over there, and that's how they get the ladies. And there's a lot of elements of that in our culture that, you know, that's why guys want nice shit. It's, that's why they want to show off. That's why they want to be in great shape, why they want to wear a Rolex, why they want to drive a Ferrari. I mean, if it wasn't for at least that belief that girls were into that, you know, no one would buy shit. Like, guys wouldn't care
about
anything.
Guys just need to realize that whenever – Like, if you have the means for that, I guess that's fine or whatever, but you need to realize that whenever you outdo yourself like that and you're constantly showing off by what you wear or what you spend your money on or if you talk about your money, you're going to attract the wrong people. Like, you're going to attract girls that only want you for your money. You're not going
right.
to end up with anyone that's genuine and loves you. Like, guys are just so, I mean, people in general do that, and it's just like, you think you're going to get somewhere, and you're just going to screw yourself in the end.
Yeah, yeah. So, takeaway for everybody is, just, you know, who cares about cars?
Yeah.
Ladies don't care. Yeah, especially, don't make them loud. You don't have to make them cars loud anymore.
No.
They just annoy. They just wake people up and annoy them. Get those stupid spoiler things, whatever they are, off your exhaust pipe. Let's put an end to this right now. Okay. And no minivans.
Yeah, no minivans.
So, what else should we talk about? Let's talk about Mean Girls. Not the movie. You know, that's a good movie. Have you seen that movie?
That was a great movie. I've seen that movie probably 100,000 times, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So, it was written by Tina Fey. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. And I thought it was very funny. I admired it from a screenwriter perspective because it was a really good script. And it was about a world that I cared nothing about. But I still found it really entertaining and loved the characters. But the movie was drawn from real, you know, experiences Tina Fey had growing up. And we discussed your kind of experience with Mean Girls. And actually, you know, were it not for rumors I heard about you, I probably wouldn't have thought to invite you on the show. Because that's originally kind of the what I was going to talk about, and not so much anymore, but we should still talk about it. Basically, the word around town is that Lacey over here got kicked out of high school for sending some naughty pics.
This is, like, so embarrassing because it's so stupid. Like, oh, my God.
Sending some naughty selfies out to some adults, some married men who happen to work at the school. So she's over here trying to tear apart families, trying to just, you know, strut her stuff.
Why are you saying that is not what the rumor was? First
that's
of
not
all,
the rumor?
No, the rumor was that I sent a naked
picture. Oh, so that wasn't a rumor. That part, that was all true.
No, shut up. No, the rumor was a naked picture was sent to the football coach who I had as a teacher my junior year. And he's not married.
Right.
He's probably, I think he's like 28 years old or in his late 20s.
Oh, so that's not nearly as scandalous as I expected.
No, but
I was expecting like a 50-year-old black guy, you know, who looks like a police chief in a movie. I was expecting something like that. So, okay. And so that was the rumor that you're throwing some of those picks. He was receiving them. There were touchdowns. There were dances. Word got out. They came down hard on you. But because he was such a good football coach, they were like, let's pin it on Lacey. We're going to kick her out of school.
Which makes
sense. Team's doing too well. We can't lose, you know, what's his face over here. So but the point is that there were rumors made up about you that circulate to this day. If I, a 26-year-old man who knows basically nothing about the small town affairs of Lee Summit, has heard multiple times about this sort of story. It's clearly something that's got a shelf life. It's circulating. And so I wonder where that comes from. And we talked about how you kind of just left school because you were you didn't like it, you were bored of it, you found a way to like graduate early essentially, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you weren't too close with many people there, so you didn't really give an exit speech, so to speak.
Correct.
And people just filled that vacuum with speculation, mm-hmm. which turned into rumors, which turned into, you know, all this. But why do you think that the girls would make that up about you? And, you know, where do you think that desire to hurt your reputation comes from?
Well, I would say the most aggravating thing to people in my eyes, especially in my senior year of high school, I didn't talk to a lot of people. And my first semester, I only went to school for a few hours because I did this work release program where I could leave school after like 3 or 4 classes and go work. So I wasn't, even though I was in school, I wasn't really there very much. And so, and even when I was there, I didn't talk to people. I didn't have a big group of friends. You know, my friends were always a little bit older than me, so they were off at college. And just in general, I just didn't really get along with a lot of the people there. And so I
think
what was so aggravating. What?
Why do you think that was, that you didn't get along with a lot of people?
I mean, I don't want to say I didn't get along with them, but I just didn't really try to. Like I said, most of my friends were older, and for pretty much half of my high school career, I was in a relationship, so I didn't really try to make friends. So at that point, you know, in your junior year of high school, everyone already has their friends. Everyone already has their clique and who they
right.
hang out with. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, I don't really have that clique. So I just was kind of, you know, alone, and I was, you know, still in high school, so I kind of just did my own thing, and I had a few of my other friends that I'd hang out with and stuff, but I never really would, like, go out and, like, show people who I really was. So people were always guessing. People were always like, well, I think she's this way, so she's that way, or I think she's that way, so she has to be that way. So, you know, people had this perception of me, and they had no way to prove it right or wrong. So they just made that a label. And I knew that. And that was fine with me because I didn't feel like I had to prove anything, because it's exhausting to have to, like, hear people come up to you and be like, so I heard, you know, this happened last weekend, or I heard this, like, whatever it is, you know, or I like, someone in this class says they don't like you. I mean, it's like, you can only defend, like, what you know for so long, to the point where it's just like, whatever, you know. So I think what made people, you know, make up those rumors and make up rumors, you know, from the time I was, you know, in middle school or whenever, my whole life, you know, it's just because people need to have an explanation for something. So whenever I left school, you know, I didn't talk to anyone, and people were just like, oh, where'd she go? You know, and then it's like you have one theory, but you have no one to really prove it right or wrong. So that's all there
right.
is.
Right, you got no defense attorney.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, and it's something to talk about. It's something to laugh about or gossip about.
Right,
and
I ain't got shit to do.
Yeah, like there's nothing else to do. So, you know, people find it, and it also reflects away from maybe what they're going through. Or, you know, what else might actually really be going on. So, you know, people are going to talk about that to make me look bad or to make themselves look better. So, I mean, you know, that's just how
Yeah, that's definitely something. I'm glad you said that, because that kind of re-sparked for me an idea we were talking about where my computer just said he has a low battery. I think that the thing will keep recording even if the computer dies, is what I've been told. Because it's like online to the website, so hopefully we're good even if mm-hmm. this guy dies out. But we'll just assume it, we're good to go. What we were talking about was that people love being morally superior to others when they don't mm-hmm. have the means okay. to engage in the same opportunities as the people they're judging. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, you know, you always just hear, like, why do people care? They come in with these whole, like, well, did you hear about Lacey? You know, like, they just have to. But, like, it's like, why? Why do you care? What does that have to do with your life?
And that's been my philosophy my whole life. It's like, why do you care? So, like, even if that did happen, like, okay, what does that have to do with you? Or, like, what is anything that I do in my life? Why do you care, you know? It's just,
right.
I don't understand.
Yeah, like, America has done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. You know, from not wiping out the Native Americans to the wars in the Philippines to war in Iraq. But the thing that bothers me the most is that Bill Clinton almost lost his job because he got his, you know, he got his Johnson service, so to speak. And when I heard about that, and I was a kid at the time, I was like, what the hell? Who cares? Like, his job is to run the country. Of course he wants to get his dick sucked to relax. Like, you think Hillary Clinton's, you know, handling things in that department? No. Like, what does that have to do with my life? It should be illegal to bring this up, but it became an issue where they almost fired the president of America because he did something under his desk with a girl. I mean, if he was raping people or something, that's one thing. But for a consensual sexual exchange between two adults, it just has absolutely nothing to do with the guy's profession. It's just like, how is that even an option to try to impeach someone for and put them on the spot and ask them questions about that? It's like, It's like a cultural phenomenon. If the same thing that happened with, you know, people gossiping about you could happen to the most powerful guy in the country, and like, you see people get taken down for this all the time. But it's like, where do we get this moral authority over strangers? And when we don't even act that way, you know, in real life, I'm sure
it's
like everyone has done something that they would get impeached for if everyone knew about it, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I don't really have any comment on that. I just think it's weird.
Mm-hmm. It's taboo. Mm-hmm. People are just hypocrites, and you got to deal with it.
Yeah. They're hypocrites. If I were the president, I would be very upfront with what's going on under the desk, and I would not care. There would be no scandal. I'll be like, this is what happens in my office, none of your business, and if you heard about it, it's probably true. And then I would go on with my day. But on to another topic. So what do you want to do with your life?
That's a good question. The only thing I've been 100% wanting to do ever since I can remember is, you know, have a family and be a mom. I grew up in a very great household, and I love my parents, and I love my family, and I'm really excited to be able to do that. But I want to go to school, and I just like to help people and listen to people. So I feel like therapy is kind of my dream. I'd probably get a degree in sociology or psychology just because I like, you know, learning about people and how they work and how they, you know, function in society and everything. So, you know, whatever that might lead to me doing, I know that I want to deal with people and I want to help people, you know. So I don't really know exactly, you know, right on the dot what I want to be, but I just know that I definitely want to help people that, you know, have even been in my place, you know, because I've been through a lot and I've been able to get through it. And I just want other people to know that, you know, the world is a crazy place, but you don't need to hate yourself for it and you don't need to look at yourself any differently for it. And that there are ways to be happy and to you know, just be happy as who you are. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like people are really worried about what other people think of them, and it causes a lot of problems in people's lives. So I just want to be able to help people with that.
Okay. So I did a little research on you just online, on like Facebook and stuff, because people never say they do that, but everybody does that to everybody, I think.
That's kind of creepy.
Is it creepy when people?
Well, no, because we're doing an interview, but like I feel like that's kind of. Well, I did some research on you. Like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't hire like a detective agency or go on LexisNexis and run your credit history or something. But no, I went through Jimmy's stuff on Facebook because I believe that in today's day of social media, people put a lot of themselves out there for people to see, and then they, you know, and then everyone's just maybe sees it or doesn't see it and are quiet about it. I don't know. It's a weird age because we have the capability to learn about one another without actually interacting. But what I was getting at with that is, just so you know, like how I know this, you had some thing on your Facebook where you were, I think, interviewed for like some type of publication, and you were saying you wanted to be a model and move to LA.
Yes.
Is that still something in the back of your mind?
It can be sometimes. I did that for a couple of years, and I was planning on moving there for a couple of years, and I loved it. But as it got closer to the time and it got, you know, more serious and people were wanting me to travel everywhere and do all these, like, paid things, and I just got really overwhelmed by it, and it was, like, happening really fast. And I also realized that, to me, it was more fun whenever I could just, like, do it and just, like, not feel so pressured to, like, make such quick decisions about things. And also, I really realized it the last time I went to L.A. I just really got a taste of, you know, the entertainment business and the lifestyle and just the road that I wanted to go down. I wanted to strengthen my faith with God and just become a more holy person, a better person. And I just saw how much temptation there was and how much evil there was and how stressful it would be and how crazy it would be. And like, yeah, it would be fun. It would be a ton of fun, but I don't know. I just feel like it would lead me down a path that I would later on regret. Well, I mean, I don't know in what way I mean that, but like I said, the person I was starting to become and how I wanted to change myself, that was not the way to do it. And I feel like God, you know, giving me those signs of stress and just kind of thinking about it all the time,
right,
and, you know, is it a good idea or not, it was just him telling me, like, you know, maybe you can do this later on whenever your faith is stronger and, like, you're really, you know, like, strong in your faith and who you are. But right now, throwing yourself into that crazy life, you're just going to go down the wrong road. So,
yeah, the
I
road
mean,
to
I
evil is the I-5.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a freeway in L.A. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very exploitative industry, especially modeling, same with acting, where you're literally a product. And you're bought and sold and traded and like as if you were an object. And
yeah, you're treated like an object too.
Exactly. Especially young girls who get into it. I think they get into it with these, you know, just like you said, like it's kind of fun to just be pretty and to highlight your own beauty and to put that out there. And it can be kind of intoxicating and when you get a lot of attention for it. But then before you know it, now you're in, like, Burbank with some, like, creepy guy taking pictures of you in a hotel room. You're just like, how the hell did this happen? So it's good that you didn't make that leap, I would say. because I've met a lot of models, and it's not same with acting. Like I have a belief that the reason you don't hear too many horror stories about Hollywood is because, and this isn't a script I wrote, this is an underlying theme, but it is that people invest so heavily in this place that winds up kind of being a mirage that it's they're too ashamed to admit that it is what it is. They prefer people back home retain this conception that they're like in this glamorous, you know, wealthy, top of the world community, and they're a part of that, when really it's a machine and it's a ruthless, heartless, you know, Machiavellian machine. And if you're not careful, it'll destroy you. I think you made the right call.
Yeah, and I realized a lot whenever I visited there, you know, that people, like, it's all about games there. Like, if you want to get what you want, you have to lie, you have to scheme, you have to do whatever you want, because people do that to you. And I can do that, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to lie to people to get what I want. And I don't want that to be done to me. So it's just like that whole atmosphere. You know, if you put yourself in that atmosphere, you're going to become it. And then before you know it, you look at yourself and you're like, wow, I'm a monster. Like, who have I become? And I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm.
Right. You have like an Instagram too, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really go on there. You have an Instagram. So Instagram to me is like an outlet for people, but mainly for girls, to indulge in that kind of model effect where they can model nothing. You know what I mean? Like, there can be no, you're not selling a product. You're just like taking pictures of yourself and showing your world and your body and your, you name it, to just the world, whoever wants to see it. Right. Isn't that kind of how Instagram works?
Yeah, for some people. I mean, it just depends on what you want to do. Like, people talk about like Instagram models, this, that, but like, you don't really know. I mean, I guess some girls do. I mean, yeah, a lot of girls do that, but that's only, like, a part of what you see. Like, you can have a photo shoot for your portfolio. So, yeah, it's not for an actual company that you're selling a product, but it's for your personal portfolio that you take to show people so that they can book you for these things. And then you might love a picture and then post on Instagram. It doesn't mean that you're not a model or that, like, you're not actually doing something productive with it. But, and so that's why you just have to be careful, because people, no matter what you post on Instagram, people are going to judge you for it. So, but.
Right. How many, like, would you call it followers or whatever? How many people you have on Instagram?
I have 2,495. So I have almost 2,500.
That's a lot. And then that's like 2,500 people you probably don't know who are just like, I want to see pictures of this chick.
Well, I know.
It's cool. It's interesting.
I probably know like 600 of them.
Okay. So there's like 2,000 people. If we were to release your Instagram on the website, it'll increase. But so that's cool. Like, that's what I'm doing in my podcast. I'm able to talk to like millions of potential millions of people around the world who I've never met, who are hopefully getting something out of it. But we just live in such an interesting era of connectivity where anything you have to offer, you can instantly just like give it to the gods of the internet. And then it's like, do with it what you may. And I think that's really interesting. And I it says something about us as a species that, one of the first things we use this technology for is to show off, you know, is in a pretty narcissistic, I mean, Facebook's a very narcissistic thing. It's just kind of weird. It's like, if the internet wasn't there and Facebook was like a company and you went to this place and you submitted like a bunch of pictures of yourself and wrote a bunch of things and then people could come in and read them if they were members, and like, that would just be a really strange, you know, if it was a physical building you went to, it would be weird. And you know, if it was like in the 50s, and they'd give you a call like, hey,
just want to let you know your ex-girlfriend's having a great time in Malibu with some guy named Kent. Not really sure what their relationship is. She tagged me a couple pictures with him. Just want to let you know. I mean, it would be just this really bizarre kind of exchange. But it's interesting that that's kind of the first or the main place we've gone with this technology is to just highlight ourselves. And I don't know, there's a lot that could be unpacked there, but that's just an interesting thing that we do as people. And I also think it's kind of weird that, modeling is okay, but just showing pictures of yourself for some reason is deemed less okay. When it's like if you're selling rum, then it's somehow more noble to have a picture of yourself in a bikini posted than if you just want to post a picture of yourself in a bikini. It's like, why is it more okay if you're selling alcohol?
Yeah, whenever you think about it, it should be the other way around, because that
right?
girl that's posing in a bikini, she's doing it to sell something, to get
right.
money.
Right, she's
to
doing
sell
it to
product.
Convince people to drink a drug. And she's a lot more, it's like that's a lot more dangerous than just, showing off your body. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's something you want to talk about?
Well, do you want me to like give you a topic and then you'll ask the questions, or
whatever
what
you
want?
Or ask me a question. Tell me what you want. I don't know. The thought I had was like, let's see what Lacey has to say.
I don't know. I guess I'll have to think about it. I can't really. I just want.
Okay, I'll ask
you
a question.
Okay.
What do you remember your dreams?
Usually I don't. If they have someone in them, like my parents or, my best friend or my boyfriend or something like that, and I wake up from it, like I'm dreaming about it and then I wake up right after and I remember it, then I do. But, like, if I wake up from a dream and an hour passes, I don't remember it. So most of the time I don't remember things unless they're, someone who is important to me is in it and something bad happens or it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, only if it's a negative thing do I remember it.
And what do you remember any of your bad dreams?
Not like in detail. I just, whenever I have nightmares, it's usually... one thing that I dream about all the time, it's really weird. I don't know if a lot of other people dream about it, but, like, I'll be mad at someone or I'll be, like, about to fight someone, and I'll go, like, and I'll have so much anger and strength in me, and I'll go to punch them, like, in the head, and as soon
mm-hmm.
as my hand hits them, it's like I lose all strength. Like, my hand just, like, collapses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even hit them. It's, like, all my strength just goes away. And so, like, I'll wake up and think about it all day. Because, like, I've never been in a fight before. I've never punched anyone in the face before. So I'm like, wow, like, what if I actually have to do that one day and, like, it doesn't work? So it's, like, I dream about that all the time. And I don't know what it means, but that's
not the only thing. I'll let you punch me if you want.
In the face?
Not in the nose, I'll let you give me a punch if you need to.
Yeah, let me give
stop,
you like a punch.
Make you stop having
job.
Bad dreams. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll allow it. That'll be my repayment for you coming on the show. And now you don't have any bad dreams about not being a punch. Okay. Now, what advice might you have for any? I guess I didn't get into this maybe as much as I should have. What advice do you have for girls who are going through kind of the darker times of adolescence? Because, you seem really happy and, like, secure and everything, but I'm sure there's a time,
mm-hmm.
at least in high school or whatever, when you probably felt pretty alone. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, those emotions are very real when you're living mm-hmm. them. I mean, we look back at high school or middle school or elementary school or whatever it is, as if those problems were silly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they, at the time, they were immensely important to us. I'm sure that, like, if we're about to die, we'll look back on our whole lives and think it was silly, the things that we were
yeah.
upset about. But when you're in it, you know, a six-year-old having to deal with a bully is just as emotionally traumatic as you know, an adult having to worry about, like, a kidnapper. I don't know. You know what I mean? We're,
yeah.
Like, we don't give enough attention to problems kids have, I feel like, because we just think it's mm-hmm. kid stuff. But, you know, a lot of kids, it's getting serious. Like, my little sister had really serious depression, and she, like, to the point where she was almost suicidal. A lot of it had to do with things going on with her friends and her being isolated and dealing with these kind of mental issues without anyone to help her out. But what would you say was, like, your kind of, was there a dark period for you in school, do you remember?
Absolutely. I would say, I mean, I had a lot of dark periods, but I am a very positive person, so, you know, thankfully I can get over them pretty fast. I mean, if it's a problem within myself, it takes me a lot longer to, you know, get over it. But if someone else is inflicting it, I can kind of, you know, I'll sulk about it for a little bit or be upset about it. But then I kind of realize mm-hmm. that they're not essential to my life, so they don't have to be there anymore. So, you know, it's kind of an easy thing to get over. But for advice for the girls, I would just, high school is a very testing period of your life, because that's 4 years of your life where you're going to be, you know, you're going to be in the same school for those 4 years with the same people. And you just really grow up in that time. And I just feel like if you are, you know, if you're pretty or not, or whatever you're going through, if you're having someone speak badly about you, or you're just having, you know, people not like you for who you are, or whatever it is, just know that if you stick it out and stay strong, it's going to get better. And, like, it's easy to say that, and, you know, I'm sure you've heard that a million times, but you just have to have faith in yourself, because, you know, what you're going through may be tough, but, you know, if it wasn't for that, you're not going to be able to get through a lot of other things in life, because there are going to be way worse things you have to deal with in life, your adult life. And you're going to look back on the people in high school being a piece of cake, because you're going to be so much stronger for that. And, you know, I don't, like, whether you're a Christian or not or whatever you are, you just need to realize that those people that are, you know, trying to hurt you on purpose, they need help. They need, you need mm-hmm. to pray for them. You need to wish them better, because, you know, if someone's doing that, if someone is trying to hurt you, especially for an invalid reason, then they're really hurting within themselves. So just don't be that person. Don't stoop down to their level and try and get back at people. I don't care how bad someone hurts me, especially like another female, I'm not going to get back at her, because she's going to have it. Like, she's going to have her karma. She's going to have things come back to her in life. Just don't worry about it, and just keep your eye on yourself, and just don't let anyone get to you.
Okay.
It'll all be okay.
And maliciousness does generally come from, you know, pain someone is feeling, and they're trying to
exactly
make other people feel it, or trying to get it out of them somehow. I don't know. Kids are just dicks, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's we'll end in a little here, but let's talk a little about your faith, because I know that has maybe recently, I don't know exactly when, but it seems like that's mm-hmm. like an important part of your life. What was that all about?
Well, long story short, I was raised in a non-religious family. So growing up, I was never introduced to church. I was never introduced to God or any religion. My parents told me whenever I asked that they believed in God, but I had never been to church before. I didn't know anything about, you know, the Bible or anything. I was clueless. And, you know, growing up, I always really wondered about it because I would have friends that went to church and stuff like that. And I just had no idea, like, what it was. But I always wondered about it. And I would still pray to God in, like, hard times. But I wasn't, like, a true Christian. So then I would say it was about probably 4 months ago, I just started to pray a lot. I started to just talk to God on a daily basis and say my prayers every night and every morning. And I actually had a friend, I'm not going to say her name, but she was my friend from high school. Whenever we were friends, really close friends, she was an atheist. And we started talking one day and, you know, just catching up and everything. And she said that she was getting her hair done one day and her hairdresser was talking about God and Christianity and everything. And she was like, you know what, maybe I should look into it. And she started to watch videos of pastors and, you know, just read things about it and just do her research about it. And she, you know, gained her faith and just became a Christian. And she just said that life turned around for her. And at that point in my life, I was okay. I was fine, but I just felt like something was missing. And I felt like that was the only thing that could be missing. And I felt like my next
spiritual component.
Yeah, and I felt like my next step was just to, like, fully commit to it and, like, really put my all into it. And, yeah, long story short, I met a couple of people. You know, because God works through people. I met a couple of people that brought me so close to Him and taught me so much about everything, you know, more than I could even imagine. And just, you know, ever since then, I've been the same person, but I've been a lot more forgiving and I don't judge. I try not to judge as much as possible. Before, you know, I would see something or hear something or, you know, like even if you're walking through Walmart and you see someone wearing something crazy or whatever, you know, you're like automatically like, oh my gosh, like, what are they doing? That's gross. You know what I mean? You just like have like your opinions of people who do silly things. But like now it's mainly a thing whenever you're out in public and you see someone, you want to judge them and think about it. But as soon as I have that thought of that person, you know, and that judging aspect, I just block it out of my head and I forget about it because, you know, God says not to judge. And so judging isn't really part of my life anymore. I'm very forgiving and I'm just a nicer person, but I just,
how literally
I'm a Christian now.
How literally do you take the, because Christian is a very all-encompassing word people can use,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of variations of it. But how literally do you take the more, what I would say, crazy parts of the Bible or irrational ideas that don't quite belong in this century, in my opinion, where, you know, do you believe that anyone who's not a Christian is going to, like, be tortured forever?
No, I don't think it's irrational. You know, God says that if you are not a faithful Christian, you know, if you don't, it's all about, you can't, that's the thing, is that people think that if you go to church, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to be fine. You're a great person. No, if you go to church and then after church, and every day of your life, you sin, you have sex before you're married, you lie, you steal, you envy people, you look up to celebrities, just, like, stuff like that. You're not supposed to do that. If you if you sin every day of your life, but then you go to church once a week, that's not what it's about. God says in the Bible that you have to have a steady relationship with Him and you have to be faithful to Him. And, you know, I just believe, I've only been to church a handful of times because I've, you know, that's just how I am. And I'm a new Christian, so it's like I'm trying to ease into church. I'm not trying to, you know, submerge myself into that, because I believe that, you know, being a true Christian is about your relationship with God. And that's what He says. You need to pray whenever you're lost or whenever you need help. You need to speak to God, and you need to look up to God. And a lot of people don't do that. And but what you said about, you know, if you don't believe in God, you're going to go to hell. I believe that, but there is going to be a time, you know, whether it's the day that God comes back and saves everyone, as long, you know, if you sin, you should not sin, but if you can pray to God about it and admit to your sins and beg for forgiveness, then He's going to forgive you no matter what. So you just have to own up to what you do, and He's going to forgive you. So I don't...
But He doesn't forgive you if you're not in the club. Based on, like, what... Again, this is just based on what most Christians believe. And, you know, this is a shout-out to all my not-Christian listeners. It's like, that's... Christianity is one, I guess Islam does this too, but they really do judge. I mean, you just said you don't judge, and but that the religion as a whole, if you take what most Christians believe, they super judge, because they think that if you're not a part of this religion, like, God wants to put you in hell, which is just,
defies
all common sense.
No, I don't look at it like that. You can't. It's easy to look at it like that whenever you live in this century, especially because you automatically group things together like that. I mean, of course there are going to be Christians that, you know, think that judge gay people or, you know, talk badly about one another or judge one another, but that's not what you're supposed to do. You know, God says that, you know, if, like, gay marriage is a perfect example. You know, that was just recently legalized all over the country. And a lot of Christians are upset about it, but you have to realize that you have to still accept those people. You just, if they ask for your opinion, you have to tell them.
Yeah, I mean, if God made him, God made him gay. And if that's like how genetically are predisposed, it's like there's no reason they should be ashamed of. See, I think I take that same idea that if you were born a certain way, there's no reason you should feel guilty for being that, or try to force yourself to be something else, because that's kind of just self-defeating. I take that as just humanity. I mean, it's like this idea that we're born in sin and that unless we... I mean, it's almost undefinable the way... It's like you can go in circles and how Christian people like to define it, but it's like... You're born flawed. You're going to make mistakes. God knows you're going to make mistakes. God knows everything is going to happen. God's going to forgive you. Otherwise, God's going to put you in hell, which He also created. It's just like so many, I don't know. So my advice to you going into Christianity is like, just keep your like bullshit meter on still. Because
of course.
It can get very culty. And I think what gives Christians a bad name is when they're judgmental and when they assume to know the cosmic definitive truth about the universe, which a lot of religions do, but I prefer the religions are more humble about it. Like Buddhists are, you never hear them, like Hindus, you don't hear them like judging people and saying like, no, you're going to hell, man. So I don't know, just Stay a non-judgmental girl when you go through this. Take all the good, but if it defies your common sense and you're just like, just don't.
No,
never.
I know.
That's my advice.
That's the thing is that I know who I am, and I already have my morals and everything already established.
Right.
So if anything comes off weird to me or makes me uncomfortable, I'm not going to do it, you know. But
right.
the way I've been living is through God, and I haven't been happier in my life. So I can't,
good.
You know, there's going to be judgmental people and bad people within every religion or not, but you just have to stay true to yourself and just worry about yourself. But I will not judge others for anything that they do. You know, it's your own life, and, you know, unless you personally ask me what I think about it, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to judge you or make you feel bad for who you are.
And I guess the cool thing about religions is they can evolve like anything else. I mean, you see, like, these ISIS guys, like, they're trying to bring back the initial original version of Islam, which has otherwise evolved into something very different. And I think it's like that with other religions. So the positive thing about religion is you don't have to live in the tradition of it. You can make it new just by your behavior and the way you carry that tradition on, which is something I don't think people really discuss or talk about, because they cling to just this ironclad truth that's set in stone. But, you know, gradually the religions do evolve to fit with the times, I think, which is nice to see. But, okay. Well, I'm trying to think if there's any kind of last things I should ask you. Let's see. Okay, here's a fun thing to talk about. So, advice to guys who are nervous to talk to a pretty girl. 'Cause all guys are. I think especially all intellectual guys, guys who think a lot, like myself, I get really wrapped up in my own head and my own, you know, imaginings of things, and that's what I do. I make up stories, but my brain will automatically make up all these different scenarios of how all these outcomes will manifest, and the good ones and bad ones. And, you know, I'll be standing there just like daydreaming, and instead of just being in the moment and talking to her. So, yeah, like I would have said hi if I wasn't, you know, that guy in the beginning I read. What advice would you have for someone who is trying to talk to just a girl who intimidates them?
That's honestly a very difficult question, just because girls.
Or maybe a better question is, what worked on you? Like, what, because obviously it's not like what we're saying, it's not like a fancy car, or, you know, a lot of money, or being in perfect shape, or it's like, but what, you said it like a sense of humor. We went over like those qualities, but is there a specific way that you remember, like, you could say, like, well, that was well executed, or that's kind of how it should be done?
Well, with me, I don't want to speak on anyone else's behalf or give advice to the wrong people, but on my behalf, it's about what gets me is charm, but like genuine charm. Like, if you, I can see through bullshit. So if you come to me and you say something just off, or like kind of rude, or, you know, or you just like approach me in like a,
trying to play games.
Just kind of like a very, like a unserious way, I feel like. I can just see through it, you know, and I don't want to continue the conversation. But if you come to me and you're charming and you're like yourself, which is hard for a lot of guys to do, but just know that most girls can see through whenever you're putting on a front. So if you're yourself and you become comfortable with who you are, you're going to be able to get a lot of girls that you probably wouldn't think you could get, because as long as you're, like, girls love confidence. If you're confident with who you are, then we're going to automatically gravitate towards you. So
yeah, and you can't quite fake it. I think women especially are
very perceptive as to when you're faking it, when you're trying
Absolutely.
To appear to be a certain way, or when you're
yeah.
just, you know, presenting your best self.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. Is my theory that if a girl wants you to talk to her, she'll take her headphones off true?
Like at the gym?
Yeah. Or like anywhere but me, especially at the gym, because I noticed always, like, hot girls always have headphones in. It used
because
to be like you
get,
could
oh
talk
my
to
gosh,
girls.
Because we get bothered all the time. And it's
I
not
know,
even like, it's not
but
even like,
that's the point.
Yeah, that's why. But no, I can say that, well, because it's just obvious. If we take off our headphones, then we're like automatically initiating conversation. So even if
See,
we
that,
think you're cute.
That was my theory. So that's what I wanted to know. So should a guy, if the headphones don't come out, does that mean abort mission?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because if we are interested
okay.
in having a conversation with you, we'll take out at least one earbud and listen, you know.
So one earbud is an invitation. Two
earbuds
is a open house.
One earbud is like, all right, you got your foot in the door, so you need to impress her at that moment or be charming
okay.
at that moment. So she takes the other one out.
Oh,
so
it's
automatically
a timer.
Both out. Well, if she automatically takes both out, then it's like, all right, like,
game on.
You got her. Well, yeah.
Okay. So... Mm-hmm. And do you notice when guys do that, like I was doing in my little story where I kept, you know, throwing them off, like, I just gotta stretch the neck out. Just gotta take these bad boys off for a minute. You notice that sort of thing?
Honestly, I don't.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in some situations I do, like if they walk up to me and they take out their headphones, then I'm automatically going to take out one of mine just to see if they're asking me a question or what they're trying to say. But if you just, like, are looking at me from a distance and, like, you're trying to get my attention, it's probably not going to work because, like, I'm there to, like, work out. I'm not there to, like, look around and see
right.
what
Right. Oh, and if a guy looks at a girl and doesn't do something, is that like a game over for them too? You know what I mean? Like they're okay, so say you're like at the gym working out, you got your phones in. I'm like on the other side of the gym. I'm just like thinking to myself. I'm like, all right, what's the plan of attack? Like, what am I gonna say? Like, am I gonna, you know, give her a tip with those weights? Am I gonna come over and, like, ask what time
oh my
it
God,
is?
That's
or
the
like, you know what?
Way to, oh my gosh.
But I'm saying, like, if I'm strategizing,
I'm
right?
Like,
and you
oh,
catch
well,
me just like looking at you. And I don't know what to do yet, and I'm just like, I need more time. Like, don't look at me yet. Is that a game over if it's like if the guy had to take that much time to figure out what to say? Is it
no,
does
I
it have to be like
thinking about it too much?
But that's
like,
impossible for me to not think about it.
Well, I know. I bet a lot of guys are like that. But I mean, I've seen some girls go approach guys at the gym. Because they think that they're attractive. I'm not the type of girl to go and bother someone and just because I think they're cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that deep for me.
Yeah, that would bother me if you do that.
I would only, even if I saw someone really attractive at the gym, I wouldn't talk to them unless they came and talked to me. So, and I feel like
right.
a lot of
so
girls
you're
like
going to
say,
like, look, if you don't have the courage to come and take a shot, I'm not coming to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
That's some good stuff. This is some good advice to the guys. So, headphone comes, earbud comes out. You can talk to them. Two come out. They're ready. They're ready to rumble. If they stay in, bad news bears.
Yeah, that means
okay.
like don't bother me. Yeah.
I hate headphones. I hate them. Because you can't. I used to be able to get a girl talking. I would just make like a pithy remark, you know, just kind of to myself. They'd hear it too, and just like, yeah, right. And then we could start talking. I'm fine once I start talking to a girl, but it's that beginning phase that I hate. I never know what to say, and I feel like I'm just an idiot. And headphones make it so much worse because now they have a force field. And they even wear it. They'll wear it in a sauna, wear it on buses, wear it on trains, wear it on everywhere. Like, the only way to get them to talk to you is, like, to make a hit record that happens to be playing on the radio. It's like, look at the guy in the corner of the room. He likes you. And maybe they'll look and you're having to meet it. But,
well, I feel like if a female has her headphones in anywhere, she doesn't really want to be bothered, you know?
Right. Closed. Business is not business hours. Okay.
Yeah. Unless you're super hot. It just depends.
Oh, so being super hot does carry a lot of
lot of weight. I mean, when you think of, I don't know. I guess it just depends. It all depends.
What makes a guy super hot?
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
You said
it. I'm just saying in general, even if you're like, you know what, I'm going to go on this bus ride. You know, it's a 45-minute bus ride to so-and-so. I'm just going to put my headphones in, mind my own business. Then you get on the bus, and there's this super cute guy at the back of the bus, and you're like, oh, man, I wonder if he's going to come up to me. So you sit down, and your headphones are still in. But if he were to come up and talk to you, you take your headphones out and talk to him. But even if
you want the super cute guy to talk to you, but you still leave the force field on?
I mean,
you still make it a challenge?
Because what if it doesn't happen? What if I sit on that 45-minute bus ride with no headphones in?
Then you don't hear Josh Groban for 10 minutes. Fucking give it a rest.
I mean, I guess. But girls don't think about that. Like, if you want to come and talk to me, just come sit next to me and talk to me, and I'll talk to you. Like, I'm not... It takes 2 seconds to take my headphones out. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
All right. I want to get, like, a little EMP device where I could just make, like, the electronics fail. So I just click my thing, and it just, like, wipes it all out, you know? And then I happen to have, like, a spare battery on me. And it's like, happened to me, too. Here you go. Hey, what's your name? That's going to be my new thing. I'm doomed. So, all right.
Yeah, my main advice to guys is if you want to approach a girl, do it. Because if you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. And if you do it and you get shut down, then you tried. Okay, move on to the next thing. Like, you might as well try.
See, that was always my philosophy too, but I kind of amended it. Because if you adopt that philosophy, like, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That was a motivational poster since middle school I saw. But the thing is, like, if you take a lot of shots, you get a reputation as a shot guy, then, you know, it's less special to the girls. And you realize, you're just like, oh, there's the guy's going to hit on everybody. You know, I don't know. So you there's a balance. But yeah, you're right. It's like, what do you got to lose? If you like a girl, just go talk to her. You look like an idiot. Oh, well. But.
Well, yeah, if you see a super hot girl and you don't really care that much, then I wouldn't go and talk to every, I mean, you're not going to go talk to every cute girl you see, but like if you see a girl at the gym every day or every week and you're like, dang, she's so cute, you know, I really want to talk to her, then I'm sure over time she's going to recognize you so that whenever you do go up to her, it's not that like creepy, you know?
So you can play the long game. You can play the long game, and it's not creepy.
No.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I feel like
those are some...
it all depends on how you, what you say and how you say it.
Oh, yeah, and how about the idea that girls say things are creepy if they didn't like the guy, but if it was a guy they liked, then it was charming. Would you agree with that idea?
I don't know about charming. It might work on them, but charm is like being a nice person, like being a genuinely nice gentleman. But like if I'm at the gym and a 50-year-old guy comes up to me and he's like, oh, I've been working out next to you all day and I just can't keep my eyes off you, like, that's creepy. But then if a 25-year-old comes up to me and says that, it's still pretty creepy, you know? So
but less,
either way,
less
it's
so.
Like,
well, it's like,
because
you
really
know, you're like, I know you've been looking at me, like, I see
well,
how
yeah,
I'm
I mean,
dressed,
like,
I know I'm killing
bit,
it.
Yeah, it might be a little bit more creepy because he's, like, triple my age, but
right.
It's what you're saying in general is creepy, so either way, you're not getting anywhere, like, I don't know.
Okay. All right, guys, you heard it here. That's some good advice for you. Should work in countries where you wear burkas too. Should work anywhere. Cool. Well, yeah, I think we got some good stuff here. I'm gonna do some edits and kind of chop it down and figure out like what we want to use. But is there anything that you really want to say or want to get out there that we maybe didn't talk about?
Not that I can think of. I just want to tell people that I'm very open to accepting people, and that if you ever want to talk to me about anything, whether you just want to be my friend or you want advice, you know, from me about something, don't be afraid to ask, like male or female, you know, because there's been, I've met people in person that have never talked to me before, and I'll sit and talk to them, and they're like, you're actually really sweet, you know, I've always wanted to talk to you and hang out with you, but I just, you know, was, like, afraid to ask, or I didn't want to just go out of my
right.
way and, like, ask you to hang out. Yeah. And I'm just like, it kind of makes me sad to hear that, you know? Like, why can't people just
right.
say what they feel?
We carry
and,
a lot of preconceptions.
Yeah, and it's...
We
it
really
kind of,
believe
I
our
feel
preconceptions.
Like that, yeah. I feel like that upsets me more is that not even the rumor part, but, you know, just someone may see me and... You know, especially, like, more so females, you know, a girl might see me and be like, oh, I don't know if, like, I should talk to her. I don't know if she would, you know, be a nice person to hang out with. And then they actually hang out with me, you know, by coincidence. And we totally, like, get along and love each other. And it's just like, you know, you could have some really great friends out there, but people are just scared to say anything. So just don't
right.
be afraid and to ever ask me for
don't
anything.
Be afraid. And if a girl is mean to you, maybe don't take it personally. Because I also have a theory that when hot girls are bitches, it's not because, like, they hate you in particular. It's because they very frequently get approached. And at the end of the day, the guys on a deep level, they're like, hey, I want to put a baby in you. And if
oh,
a
yeah.
guy wants to put a baby in you, you have the right to question that and to
yeah.
test it a little and say, hey, you know, maybe not. And you
yeah.
can't, like, a girl, you can't just be like, what a fucking bitch. Like, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
like, no one's trying to put babies in us guys. You know, like, if a girl comes and talks to us, we don't have to worry about, like, well, their goal is to put a copy of themselves into my body that I have to create and raise and name. And so I think that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think that we can kind of fade out here. Hopefully the computer dying did not mess anything up. I'm pretty sure it didn't. I really hope it didn't. But, yeah, thanks a lot for coming on. This is fun.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And, yep, I'll let you know kind of when the episode's going up. It'll be in, like, a couple weeks, like I said. And, is there anything you want me to kind of promote or plug for you? Doesn't have to be,
no.
But usually, like, I, you know, I got something I tell people about. Okay. Well, if you think of anything,
well,
let me
know. I think this is actually going to be, like, a really popular video just because I'm going to share it a lot, like, on my Twitter, my Facebook,
cool.
and a lot of girls are going to want to listen to it. So I think it'll be a big deal.
A lot of jealous bitches.
No, a lot of girls that go through the same thing. They're going to love you.
Jelly bitches. and girls who are going through the same thing. Target audience. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to help a lot. I'm glad you're going to share it. Get out there. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah.
Don't take,
thanks.
Like, 2 months to put it up.
I won't take 2 months. I'll take you can punch me in the face for real if it's not up by the end of the first week of next month.
Okey-dokey.
You have my permission, and it's probably on tape now that you can just come up to me and just punch me.
All
right. And so that's how we'll keep me accountable.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, have a great night, and feel free to come say hi at work, and yeah.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Ciao.
All right, bye.